Answer.
Okay.
Question, what's the process when they switch a case over to staffing? They change the status to what, yellow?
There's a double change. They change the department to, let me just look at which one it is. They change case status to need staffing. They change the staffing status. Staffing status to need staffing, and the department status has to go to intake. That's how it populates Sarah's sheet. I didn't set that up. But the main two are the last two, which is the staffing status and department status.
Okay, one second. Part status. Okay, and then the color changes also to yellow or a different color?
It changes to yellow because it needs addressing, yes.
Okay. So
basically, without going into too much detail, yellow means something needs attention, and red means unable to service for whatever reason.
Okay. Okay, I actually like found one case that I'm questioning.
Which one?
Megan Crachy. Crachy.
Krish.
So basically,
Krish is.
I read the note that there was an issue where she was telling the aide to do other things that are outside of her scope. I guess
so Megan
handyman
Krish,
stuff. My only
no,
thing
she had him cleaning his pool. Her pool.
Yeah, yeah. I saw those notes.
Yeah.
My only thing was that on December 3rd, when the patient called and told the coordinator that, you know, that James is very good, but I also want someone to do around 20 of my hours to help with cooking because he can't cook. First in the call, he's not even trying to. She calls to say I'm switching agency. He's not even asking why or whatever. She ends up bringing it up in the conversation, the patient. And then he tries to say, okay, so, you know, let me put in a request for staffing to see if they can find somebody else. So in that phone conversation, there's nothing about telling the patient this is not something our aides can do or, like, whatever. 2 days later, on the 5th, there's a note from the coordinator saying that he spoke to the patient and let the patient know that this aide cannot work for you anymore. My only thing was I don't see that we ever changed this case to staffing.
Because that on the conversation where they on the conversation at 12:03, I believe she notified us of this.
And staff. I don't hear. So I see that the Sarah is a staffing, right? Sarah tells the coordinator you need to let the patient know that we can't do blah blah blah. I don't hear a phone call where the coordinator is saying any of that to the patient. The patient is just saying I need someone to help me with cooking because James can't do it. There's no conversation of telling the patient, you know, you can't have him clean your pool or do other handyman stuff. Or I see that note. I can't find a call. The timestamp of the note, I can see there's a phone call, but didn't get through to the patient. So I don't know. That was my only questionable thing here.
Whatever. That's a poor follow-up. No question.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I guess
mean,
this is kind of what you want to.
It could be a Rango call, but. The
I was checking this, all the inbound and outbound calls to the patient. There's only one phone number from the patient. Smartsheet and HHA. And I was checking on other documentations from the other dates. And it's also the same phone number. Meaning there is documentation that we try to call the patient or the patient called at 3:15 on December 5. But I can't... that's when the documentation from that call is, and I don't see a call.
Regular, James Hines, caregiver compliance.
See, there's a call. It's a seven-second phone call. Didn't get through to the patient. And that's when he documented that note.
11-4, members okay, caregiver didn't work, monthly call. I definitely had a conversation with them regarding this. But you're saying that they never actually followed up. Please put that in the notes on the bottom if you can, just a summary with cannot find. You're not going to push any buttons. Put that
in.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not an easy one to staff.
Fine, you don't have to give me answers. I guess...
No. It's the follow-up, again, when I'm told, I 100% talked to the supervisor regarding notifying the client of the scope of responsibilities of an aide. The question is why there was no follow-up on this one.
Yeah, but also, my question also, I don't see that at any point it was sent back to staffing. Meaning after...
Yeah, you're looking at the... You're looking at the...
That's why I asked you about the status. I'm like, based on the notes, and sorry, not on the notes. Based on, I listened to the phone call with the coordinator on December 3rd. He's telling the patient, okay, I'm going to put a request in for to help you find someone that can help you with cooking. The next note is 3 days later where they're saying...
Put a short summary of that, very short,
mm-hmm.
Just bullet points, into his Smartsheets notes and tag me in Arango. It's OG. If you type in OG, it'll come up.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, tag me in Arango because I want to have a conversation with the supervisor about. I'm really cracking down on returning phone
right,
calls.
Right, again,
and follow-ups.
I might be missing something, but this
I found.
I
have a rule. If it's not in the notes, it didn't happen.
No, that's the problem. There is a note that I can't locate a call from. Meaning, from that note, it should have gone to staffing. But the next thing I see is that we're discharging the case. So I don't see. There's two things. I don't hear a phone call where we're addressing with the patient that issue. And I figured maybe that should have been. Maybe that was addressed by Sarah Manger, but it wasn't her either.
Well, the
Sarah
phone
Rose,
call
sorry.
On. The phone call on. It's really weird because on 12/5, the note says that.
This note from Jose, patient called me, I explained that the caregiver is not available to work for anymore, I also asked if she wants to continue with the agency. That I don't see. I can't find that call. And this note is at 3:14 p.m. There is an outbound attempt.
Where do you see the time on that?
So basically, the date, just put your cursor on there and don't press anything. And it takes a second, it pops up.
Okay, it's good to know. I learned something new today.
Yeah.
the time comes off after 24 hours usually. So that's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so I see this note was put in at 3:14. I see there's a outbound call at 3:15 from Jose, but it didn't get through to the patient. And I wonder if he left a voicemail. Hold on.
Patient called being explained the caregiver is not available to work for her anymore. 12:05. Hold on. It's Windows 11 is killing me. 12/5 was a Friday.
Yeah, so he reaches the voicemail and he doesn't leave a voicemail. At 3:15, so a minute after that note was put in.
Patient called me.
He says patient called me. So I can't find an inbound call from the patient to anyone.
I'm just curious. I just want to double check the JetWave.
By the way, in JetWave, December 3rd is the inbound call from the patient, and that's where the patient is telling Jose, I need somebody that I'm. She starts a call by saying, I'm going to another agency, and says, I need help with cooking because James is great, but he can't cook, so I need a female for 20 hours. So first, Jose is like, thank you for letting me know that you're going to another agency. When are you going? So instead of addressing why you're going, right?
Yeah.
Then when she mentions about the cooking, he says that he'll put a request in with HR so that he can help him find a... Why are they saying HR? Is HR doing staffing? But that's what he says. Anyways, they'll find a caregiver...
He did, because when they...
Whatever.
Sarah and he did that.
Right, yeah. For them, it's the same thing, staffing HR. Okay. So, considering based on that call on December 3rd at 2:23, he should have updated the case to a staffing status, right? Maybe he did, and I couldn't find where it was updated.
I see an incoming call.
Then there is a note from Sarah. This is 3:19 p.m. One second.
2:32 p.m. incoming call that he did not pick up.
Okay, so I see Jose's documentation from 12:03 saying that she wants to switch agency. And here he's writing about the cooking. Tag Sarah, and Sarah says, I did speak with Mr. Hines, which is the aide. Took me a minute to get the note in. He will not work part-time with her. Basically, the aide then decided I'm not working some of the hours. I'm dropping the whole thing.
Correct.
So I guess the patient's request for someone to provide what she needs, assistance. I think she's a 79-hour case? Yeah, 79 weekly. She needs 20 of those hours with cooking, and this aide wanted to do all the hours. So he said I'm dropping the case.
Well, he would have to. It's a serious travel for him also on that one, I believe.
Yeah, North Wales. Okay.
Yeah, it's not around the corner. But let me, I just want to see one other thing, because I believe there was a phone number issue at one point with that one, and I want to see the original phone number on the service authorization, which is...
Oh, so I see. So basically, instead of switching to staffing, he wrote a note and tagged Sarah.
Yeah,
and
but
then...
he's not supposed to do that, and they know that, because tagging Sarah, so if she misses a notice, it's not going on her list.
Right, I'm with you. You need to, if you're writing a note, if something's changing in the situation and the status, you need to update certain fields.
Right. There's two fields they need to update, and they were all trained on that. He definitely did not talk to her. At least, unless he, no, maybe with text, but...
Oh, so I see that when he originally documented that the patient wants some time for someone else to help with cooking... Sarah writes the note. I didn't have an opportunity to write that note, but I already spoke with James about it.
One thing you probably know about JetWave is that if you get transferred, the JetWave is not accurate. So I'm looking at all inbound activity from 12-5.
Right, so I only put it as the phone number, not... I put it as inbound or outbound, meaning for the call type.
No, I did too. I'm looking at inbound because you said patient call.
Right,
But like you see the extension 124, right? I'm just looking all 7729 inbounds. You know what? Let me look for all 7729 inbounds instead of those specific callers 7729. All right. So we only have.
And as my point is a case like that. Meaning, My point is that I don't see or find a conversation to the patient to say. You know, you can't have your aide do handyman stuff. I see it's documented here. I couldn't find the conversation with the patient. But the patient is saying
there's
she's going
none.
To another agency because
there is none. There's no calls in or out to that number. This call doesn't exist. So I don't know when he talked to her, but it wasn't. If he did, I mean, I believe he put it in without doing it. Let me just double check his text just in case, even though he did say call. But let's just see that. Jose, 7729, any text there? I doubt it. Oh, there is text. There is text from
with
12
the patient?
Up to 12, yeah, with the patient.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I don't like that, by the way. But I want phone calls whenever possible. But
and my point is, I'll tell you what my point in this case is. Two things should have happened. A, we should have convinced the patient that, you know, you're not going to get this. No one's going to help you with handyman work, regardless of what agency you go with. And there should have been some updates as far as attempting to restaff the case, especially when the patient says, I'm going to go to another agency because I need someone to help me with cooking. We could all provide that.
The text here, well, we can provide cooking, but... The caregiver complained multiple times about the type of work. He's a great he is a good caregiver. He has a good hit track record. He's responsive.
Right. So the question is, was that ever discussed with the patient? On a phone call, not.
So we did request a list of duties that she expects to fix, and she always says just cooking. But James reports that he was literally scrubbing her pool, whatever that means. So.
Yeah, it's such a—it's like a fine line of how far can we assist.
The texts are very professional, but here's the text. The texts are—I also want to see the text in James. Hold on. The texts are so 12-5. Hey Jose, is James at my house? I can't get a hold of him. He's not here, so I guess he quit. So then Rodney responds 10 minutes later. Pretty good.
That's 12-5.
This is on 12-5.
And what time?
2:48.
Okay.
And the text to him, the text back from him is 3:04, so right before the notes. So when he said called, he meant text.
Text, yeah.
I never asked James to stop working. All I inquired was getting help with cooking. All your staff cares about is how many hours of overtime.
By the way, it's likely that they had so much back and forth in text, and that's why he attempted to call the patient at 3:15 but didn't get through. That's what I see. 3:15, he dialed the patient.
Correct. And he didn't get through, but he was texting her already. 12:05, her texts are after she doesn't respond until like 4 something, which is after hours. Then he said, I already started the process. You can always communicate with the person in charge of staffing. He gives Sarah's number directly, which is a no-no.
Oh, and that's why Sarah had that response when he tagged on Smartsheet.
Yes. And then... So he says to her that originally she had requested help with cooking. And he requested from her a list of duties as a response so that we can gain clarity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a total list of what she needs all the caregivers to do. And she always just said cooking and cleaning. But her version of cleaning is handyman work. According to the aide, again, there's no way for me to verify it more than that. But I don't think the aide is a liar in this case, because if it would be an easy case, he would keep it. He worked on it for 2 months with complaints, by the way. It's not like he quit overnight. The client texts her that she started the process via Jen. Jen is the service coordinator for the Act 150 case. That's like an alternative Medicaid waiver. Yeah, I don't have to go into it, but it's not a standard waiver. It's when your income is only a little bit above the Medicaid maximum. The state has a cost-sharing program which allow you to get Medicaid services even though you have to pay a small fee every month. The short version is it acts like a CHC, but it doesn't, like a regular waiver, but it goes through a different place. So Jen is her service coordinator for that. And so she says that Jen is going to help with finding a different agency to staff for certain hours. And then Rodney says, Jen's taking care of those hours of staffing, which, by the way, at this point is 12-9. She's on staff. So this is, communication is okay, but the content of the communication is terrible. So make a note that the caregiver is not being clear. It's fine. We want to have more oversight on Ancora. Make a note of that on the file or in your report or whatever, that the communication with the client is choppy and not informative to gain clarity, to give and gain clarity on the requirements of the case.
Okay.
And also the staffing was apparently, I mean, he didn't request properly the staffing. It should be sent to staffing regardless. Instead, he sent Sarah's phone number. So I'll follow up with this one because, I would say that this is potentially a communication problem, even though we may or may not have been able to staff it. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
It maybe could have been saved.
Maybe, yeah. But again, this is a communication issue that needs to be addressed regardless. So
okay.
Good catch. Anything else so far?
No. So far no.
No, you got, again, the deep dive was super helpful to me because I don't have time to do this on
Yeah, trust
case.
Me, when you're auditing like that, that's when you uncover stuff that you're like, oh my god, like if we should know this before. But again,
we're in the process of hiring a office secretary to
mm-hmm.
answer phone calls, because right now Sarah is both the head staffer and does all customer service calls.
Oh, so she does like the operator calls?
Yeah, but that's insane. She gets 150 calls a week on average just from that.
Oh wow.
So we're hiring an in-house secretary just for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to hire one. And in the meantime, she's overloaded. I do not want anyone giving out her phone number for staffing, and I see clearly that it was given. So it's in the text messages with her phone name and phone number. That's super inaccessible.
Yeah, and then it's not fair to Sarah that they contact her directly instead of the regular process of coordinator updating the status, and then she'll work on it on her time.
Yep.
All right. We'll be in touch soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.